Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes.
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The crowd is singing high hopes, smiling through a broken nose. Oh, high hopes, high hopes.
I feel a little less alone.
Yo, it is another edition of the Hopes Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. It was fun getting to do the big yo that one time. I'm sure there'll be more, but, you know, Aaron Nola pitched yesterday, so we're just not going to get a big yo after that. Fritzy, what's up, pal?
Four more years. Come on, man.
Four and two-thirds more years, more likely, yeah. Hey.
When you think about it, 2030 is not that far away. It is wild he's going to be pitching into the 2030s.
Yes, it is. Well, we don't know that he's actually going to make it that long.
Yeah.
He could get Taiwan, you know?
He could.
Not yet.
But at least that's 2029. 2029,
exactly.
Right.
Yep, same page.
Right. So the unfortunate part about him is
there's no answer. There's no solution.
Not really. Now, there may be one coming.
Hold on.
But he, in an Aaron Nola sense, he didn't get blasted yesterday. I guess that could be the positive.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Is that the spin that we're going with?
Yeah, well, the spin wasn't working very well yesterday. The third inning when pretty three good. Straight? Yeah. P.J. Higgins, who we watch a lot of baseball, never heard of him.
Never heard of him. I didn't know he was. I thought he was made up.
You know who he is now? He's the new Jacob Stallings.
It's great.
Just some scrub catcher that randomly kills the Phillies. So,
Sal Stewart. I hate that guy now.
Dude, I love Sal Stewart.
I know. I love him as a player. I hate playing against him.
That guy
just ripping us apart.
That kid's a good ball player.
He's good.
Yeah. I really like him. He's going to be around for a long time. I know. He's going to be around for a long time.
I know. He killed us.
Well, any of the ball to the second deck in left field, which you just do not see very often.
That's rare.
I mean, I feel like I can count on one hand.
It's very rare
to go up at 441.
Yeah.
So, I guess the positive is he didn't walk anyone and he struck out five. And
strikeout per nine is great.
He started getting the curveball down later in the start and he didn't allow a home run.
Yeah,
so, I guess that could be viewed as positive. I mean, the reality is, well, there's a lot of realities with Aaron Nola, is that, and Luke or Candy just put this out, but hitters are hitting 460 on his fastball.
460?
It was either that or 424. It's over 400.
Dude, that's so bad off his fastball. That is horrible.
Which is not how it's been. I mean, he's been.
I know he's like bottom 14% in average fastball velocity.
So against his fastball this year, hitters are hitting 432.
Wow.
So here's by year. So 25 was 230, 2024 was 167, 23 was 243.
Wow.
2022 was 147.
Wow. Yes. That's dramatic.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. No,
I didn't realize he was that solid the last couple of years with the fastball. I thought it had dropped off more than that.
So
obviously it dropped off from the years before, but so I would have guessed higher last year.
So I think the thing that we view about his fastball, so I think that's his four-seam data, which has been pretty good. The one pitch he hasn't had since, I would say, maybe a sticky substance has gone away is the two-seam fastball that used to start at the guy's hip and come back on the inside corner. That used to be like the staple of Nola.
You're right.
Did the
spider tag kill Nola? Is that possible?
I don't know.
It has gotten worse since. I mean, it is a, there is like a line there.
There is. There's an interesting line. And who could forget 2018?
What if that, and I don't think it's that simple. I think there's probably a lot.
There's a lot going on.
But if that were a big part, like that's on the Phillies because they signed him after the Spider Tag thing happened. Like that's something as an organization you got to be on top of.
They signed him because he started pointing his shoulder towards the first baseline when he was doing his setup.
Because of that and because the Braves played them. That's it. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Would have been nice if the Braves actually did it.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah, it would be great. Give me going to Crush Nola all the time.
Or for some reason, you'd go down there and.
No, he did deal against us. He'd have a 6 ERA against everyone else, but against us, he would just wipe the floor with us.
So the Nola thing is so tricky because the four seamer is getting blasted. And I think Mattingly said it after the Marlins start, where he said that he just can't bully people with his fastball anymore, which is true. He can't. And now it's almost like he's readjusting how he pitches on the fly. Like he's trying to use all of his off speed pitches more and more to get people off the fastball. And that's kind of been what's going on. It's just, this has always been the problem with this curveball, is that it's a really good pitch, but it's a really good two strike pitch. And like a get me over, flip me over, like to get into the count. But if he has to throw it over and over again, then it starts getting higher. Like you can't throw a perfect curveball every time. So when he leaves it up, like he left it up a couple times yesterday, gets shelled.
It flattens out and it gets crushed.
Yeah. So like that's kind of the thing that you're seeing is fastball is not the same. Has to use all the other pitches. I know like velocity wise it's looks okay, but the zip just doesn't seem like it's there.
Well, and he is low. Like not that he's ever super high, but on Savant, I think he's like 14% in terms of average fastball velocity in the blue.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, 93 now is basically throwing 88.
Yeah. Like matters though. I mean, it's part of the thing. It's like back in the day those guys could do that, lose some velocity, switch speeds, and make it work. It's much harder now if you were already low on the velocity to begin with when you lose that little bit. And we've talked about this a lot, but the point is like 1 to 2 miles an hour off your fastball for Aaron Nola means a hell of a lot more than 1 to 2 miles per hour for whoever you want to take with throws 97, you know? Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I think has also hurt him is ABS from the standpoint of like when
he's not getting those calls that, you know,
he could work the corner. He could earn strikes with the umpire saying like, if you can hit that spot, like I'll give it to you and expand the strike zone a little bit. And now with ABS, like he has to be in the strike zone more. And when he's in the strike zone more,
he gets it.
So
there's no real like what's the answer? I mean, we'll get into what they do in terms of the playing him and what we think of that. But just in terms of Nola and in terms of it, like, what is Caleb Cotham to do? Like, what are they? Is there a way
start that, praying?
Yeah, I know. You know, it feels that way. But like, I mean, like, is there a way to change his arsenal? So, you know, where it is about changing speeds more and he's finding ways to kind of, you know, I don't know.
Well, sure. I mean, like, but ultimately, like Nola has to be more crisp on his secondaries. Yeah. It is crazy how we talk a lot about velocity and we talk a lot about fastballs today. And it really seems like now I think overall team averages are still down. Like I think there's 15 teams hitting under 240, but it does feel like the hitting side has caught up to the pitching side in the terms of
the speed.
They can rip fastballs that no matter what velocity they are.
Yeah.
And like you would, like Painter in 2005.
Oh my God. Would be viewed like, who's this alien?
I know. But in 2026, when everyone knows that it hit 97, 98, it doesn't hit the same. So it's just so interesting to me. Like all these guys, all these like hitters, it feels like are much better at squaring up fastballs.
I totally agree.
Or like 3 years.
Yeah.
Ago,
it's been a focus for them and it makes sense. And everyone you see has that speed, you know, you have to, and you get accustomed to it. Yeah. And Al had a good line. It was so much fun having Al on today, by the way.
Knows how to do the morning show.
It was a freaking treat having Al on. But a good line. He was talking about like, you always hear the cliche or whatever, when a guy loses speed, it's like, oh, now he's got to become a pitcher. You can't just throw, he's got to learn to pitch. It's like, Nola already was a pitcher. Like that was his whole thing. It's like when he loses the velocity, it's like, what do you do now? You know?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like they could phantom IL him, but that's not going to really, I don't know if that's going to do anything.
So that's the problem, right? All right, let's get into what they do, because I don't think there is a clear, obvious thing here. I think they're going to let him pitch for a while. Like, I think that's probably what's going to happen. The issue to what you just talked about, like we joked about Gage. I mean, Gage just got put in red. Like, just went to double A. And, like, at the end of the season, could Gage come up and be better than Nolan? Possibly, yeah. He's just more talented. Like, that could happen. But there is no, like, well, just go to that guy. Go to that guy. They don't have these guys in the high minors who are ready to come up and start in the majors. Like, I honestly think if Nola sucks the way he is for the next 2 months, I think the most likely thing is they trade for a starter, which was probably not on the bingo card heading into the season. How do you... what do you think the Phillies should do, and how do you see this playing out? Like, what do you think will happen?
By the way, Giglio had this stat on my drive in, but like, last 27 starts, the ERA is over six. It's not
a small sample size. Basically, anymore. It's a season. It's a season of starts, essentially.
So 10 starts this year, 17 last year, both the ERAs in the sixes.
That's really bad.
That's a lot of bad production. So, you know, the Nola thing at this point, I'm trotting him out there.
You don't have an answer right now. You just have to.
There's nothing you can do. Like, maybe.
How long are you trying? I guess that's a question. Like, how? Because again, we could say, well, just give him the ball every fifth day for the rest of the season. They might. But like, if he has a six ERA, that's what he is now. If that's what it is, like, how long do you think they can realistically keep just every fifth day without phantom ILing, without figuring something out, without doing something and just kind of keep taking it?
Well, the other thing that's kind of interesting, I'll get there, but like, it's also interesting the like, he's not even giving them length anymore. Like, he's going four and Mattingly's getting him out of there. What they have to consider there is they might have to find a way to put someone between Painter and him, because if Painter is going to be a
you're right,
five inning guy,
split him up
two time through the lineup, you know, maybe sneak through three. He seemed like he was going to go back out there if they didn't take the lead on Monday. Like, they might have to. Well, I mean, they already kind of have. I mean, Lizardo pitched game two of this series. So, like, just being conscious of those guys pitching.
The point is, they have to be aware of it and conscious of it and schedule things that way and maybe move guys around so that they're not pitching those guys in back-to-back days. Actually, Aaron, you're getting an extra day off or whatever. Yeah.
So maybe it's something that you just kind of ride out until the deadline. I mean, it is June. So,
whatever, 2.5 months away from the deadline. That's not that far away.
Yeah, I to survive.
Is it August 5th this year or
August
something?
August 3rd.
I hate that. But
should always be July 31st.
July, like, why? It was always July 31st. We all knew it. And it's like, oh, no, let's make it a day in August. Okay.
Well, I think because...
I know why. I'm just saying
Monday.
It's
a Monday.
I know why. I'm just saying I hate it. Like, I'll take it on a Saturday. I don't care. Just make it July 31st. Anyway.
They got to get clicks, man.
I know why they do it. And I get it. I'm just saying I personally dislike.
And we got to get our clicks too.
That's true.
So
good point. Yeah, I'm fine with it now.
It's great. Do a little Sunday pod heading into a Monday deadline. Anyway.
That was really good. I really enjoyed that.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So you got to survive, what, 8 starts? 9 starts?
Yeah, like 10 maybe. Yeah,
maybe 10? Because then you can say, okay, let's go trade for at least some kind of arm, some kind of depth arm, and maybe then you can kind of put him on the IL. And
a Michael Lorenzen from 2023 type. Like I think that's what we're talking about, right? That type of guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not getting someone who's going to start being in the playoffs.
No. And I don't think there's going to be a Walker Buehler situation this year where he gets cut in
August.
And
even then, he wasn't good. Like, let's be honest. It was fun to get him here and stuff, but like, Walker Buehler did not help them in the playoffs.
No, he did not. Nola was better than
him. He was.
Yeah. So I think they just have to kind of ride it out. Maybe change up his pitch mix. They tried yesterday, and the first inning was great. It was like 10 pitches. He's the last batter, he threw 2 changeups in it and a curveball. But
and then they get the lead. They're up on Trey's stealing bases. Like, here we go. This is some good day baseball I want to watch.
By the way, since Dynasty Baseball is taking over, a lot of stolen bases.
They are running more, which, thank God.
Yeah.
Like, you're not a good enough offensive team to not try and get win on the margins.
Use your speed. Yeah. Use your speed. So, yeah, the Nola thing is a huge, huge conundrum. And there's not really a clean, clear answer. You just kind of have to
hope he starts pitching. He's not going to be good, but you hope he pitches better. You hope he pitches to a 4.9 ERA, a 4.8 ERA or something.
5 innings, 3 runs.
Yeah,
like that.
Exactly. That's a 4. What's that? 4. It's not even. It's like a 5 something ERA. Yeah.
That's what he had to shoot for. Yeah, I mean, that's where we're at there. There's no clear answer. Gage would. Now let's talk.
So
about
let's
Gage.
Talk about Gage. Yeah.
So Gage, like, going to Reading.
Real quick, how old is he? Is he 21? 22.
So it does open the door for a possibility of him getting called to the big leagues this year. To completely poo-poo that, I think, is wrong.
It's crazy, yeah.
Now,
he's not a high school kid. He's not 18 or 19, you know?
But the issue is he never threw more than 40 innings a year at Arkansas. So, like, Yosevich, for example, when we talk about, is he on the Yosevich path? By the way, I don't know if you watched Yosevich versus Schlittler last night, but that is cinema.
It's a beautiful matchup. I can only imagine.
Oh, my.
Is it 2-1 or something? It was a good game.
It was 2-1.
Yeah.
It was 2-1. I love Trey Yosevich, and I love Cam Schlittler. They are very important. Very important to me. Anyway, so...
tough name for Cam.
Neither
is a great name, let's be honest. They would both fail the Jack Fritz.
Well, Trey Yosevich is, at least
is
be
good
like
enough. At least it sounds
savage.
Okay. It looks ugly, but at least it sounds okay. The Cam Schlitter is a...
Schlittler.
Even worse.
Schlittler.
Schlittler is a horrible name. Like, change your last name.
And he's a Boston kid, big Red Sox fan that ends up now dominating for the Yankees.
I don't want to say it. I almost just cursed there saying it. It's a horrible name.
I know. But now Yosevich is a local kid.
Yosevich is a good... Yeah. Yosevich is a better name than that. That's for sure. And he's a local kid.
Boyertown. Kid.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway.
Probably a pod listener. I'm sure he is.
Oh, I'm sure he was diehard growing up.
Shout out.
Diehard. Anyway.
Welcome aboard, Yosevich family listening right now.
The... So Yosevich...
The plan, yeah.
Yosevich at ECU threw 98 innings his last year. So much more used to the workload. Mm-hmm. Gage is not used to the workload. He's obviously going to have to pitch more than 40 innings this year. He's already thrown 27. So
let's hope he goes over 40.
Exactly. So like 80 innings, maybe that's the target for him this year.
So that's concerning if you're talking about him being a playoff, you know, weapon for you. I mean, it feels like he's a bullpen weapon.
He would probably be a bullpen weapon. But at that point, now, he could probably just do it and he'd be fine. I just don't want to develop him as a bullpen guy, but I guess it's not harming his development that much.
We've seen a lot of guys like Wainwright. We've seen a lot of guys who pitch in the bullpen and then became went back to being starters.
Yeah. Now, the one thing there is if you put him in the bullpen, are you going to pitch him back-to-back days? Probably not.
Probably not.
You know, so how often do you use that arm?
Yeah, it's a weird spot.
Yeah. So, but it does open the door for the possibility of it by him going to AA this early. Now, I think he's going to AA to get challenged. You know, I think in the minors or in low A, he's able to kind of just eat with his fastball and low level minor league hitters couldn't hit it. I do think double A will challenge him to use his off speed pitches. So, you know, his slider, I think, has shown great upside. I think it's coming out. He's a power curve guy and a four seam guy. I think the slider is better than the curveball now. And then he needs to develop the changeup. That's imperative. I think it's a split change. It should be a split change.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other issue we're talking about. He is a two-pitch pitcher now. Like, that's hard to add. I mean, you can succeed in the majors. I mean, Mo, obviously, and we've seen starters even have success.
Sanchez.
And
Yosevich. He's really just
you're right. You can, but it's less than ideal. And usually, if you're going to have those two pitches, better both be freaking lights out.
Mm-hmm. So, so it's a little bit of a tricky scenario. But at the same time, you can't rule it out. You can't rule it out because he is...
Because he's talented.
And they don't have anyone else. So
he's a dog.
He is a dog. Ooh. Oh, 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 oh. So we'll see what happens with Gage. It's very exciting. We're monitoring the development. His last couple starts, he got off on a crazy run there, cooled off a little bit in the middle, and his last start was back to kind of being Gage level. I also think the defense of the upper minor leagues will help him more. I thought the defense down there was not too kind.
Not doing him any favors, as they say.
To Gage. So, again, it's not the most likely thing. I put it like 10% that he's in the big leagues this year. But I wouldn't say it's most likely, but I don't think it's also impossible.
So, to round out the Nola conversation, we'll get to some other stuff, but it does feel, I think we both agree, the most likely Aaron Nola replacement is a trade at the deadline.
Yeah, unless they feel like they don't want to
long, obviously. But
well, they don't want to part with prospects, you know, and and just say, hey, we got a guy who's 22. Let's kind of see what he's got. Maybe then they go to a six man and keep Wheeler on his normal rest. And maybe they feel like if they stretch him out, he'll be better. I mean, his best start this year was on 8 days rest. Mm-hmm. 8 days rest.
Yeah, it was.
So, or 7 days rest. But yeah, maybe that's something they could do. So rather than, hey, let's go trade assets for some rental, they gave up How You Lee for Lorenzen, and he's starting for the Tigers.
Yeah.
So, or he was starting for the Tigers, who I can't believe they're 20 and 30. I had no idea the Tigers were like bad.
Yeah. Well, Scooble's been out.
They're going to trade. They have to trade Scooble.
Yeah, he's hurt now, though.
I know.
Yeah, he'll be healthy by the end of the year. So, but still, with they have to trade him.
With the new Scott.
They should have traded him last year. They blew that.
With the new Scott Boras.
I don't care that you're competing.
The new Scott Boras injury thing.
Oh,
with
yeah.
With this, he created a new surgery for Scooble. And who was the other guy that got hurt? Oh, Snell.
Yeah.
Snell's doing the same thing as Scooble had to fix the loose bodies in
sure,
the elbow.
Sure.
This is, you know.
All right, Scott.
Yeah, Boras is something, man.
Yeah, dude.
Boras, he's always got something.
He knows
going
what
on.
He's doing, man.
But he, like, if they're going to keep it up, the haul they're going to get for Scooble.
Oh, my goodness.
And the deadline is going to be generational.
Now, the shame is they, again, it would have been better. I mean, he is a free agent at the end of the year. It is a rental, uh-huh. You know? So I think it'll be big, but I don't think it, like, last year could have been generational. Last year, they could have gotten the world.
Did you see the story today from Rosenthal about the Angels and Rays almost deal? In 2023?
No. What was it?
So the owner of the Angels turned down Otani for Junior Caminero.
No way.
So the deal was Caminero and Carson Williams for Otani.
Wow.
So Otani could have been on the Rays. And
they wouldn't have signed him past that. They would have been on the Rays for a couple years and they would have won or not. But
it was his walk year.
Oh, so they were just, the Rays, that's so un-Rays-like.
It's un-Rays-like. And imagine you're an Angels fan.
Yeah, and you could have Junior. Anyway. Like, oh my God, that guy's a stud.
I know. It's pretty bad. And because like this false, remember because they were kind of competing at that time.
Yeah, sure.
And they were like, oh, maybe this is the year we make the playoffs with Otani.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a big one.
That is a tough miss.
It's really tough being an Angels fan.
Oh, it's horrible. I can't, like, it's horrible. We wouldn't have a podcast. No one would care. It wouldn't be there.
Talk a lot about Zach Neto. There is a lot of Angels that I do want to get.
We've always, Soler, like the Angels are fertile ground for, let's take those like three guys and, you know.
So
Taylor Ward no longer there, but for years.
Yes. I mean, Taylor Ward has been a Philly actually for the last 3 years.
Oh, yeah. He's maybe the new Adam Duvall. He's on the verge. Not quite. No one's Adam Duvall.
Well, Robbie Refsnyder is pretty close. I actually think Refsnyder might be taking over for Duvall. He's Duvall in spirit.
Okay. I like it. That's good.
Taylor Ward this year, by the way, one home run.
Really?
Buddy's got a 416 OBP.
Oh. I'm still reeling from the Tatis thing.
He's no home runs.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, imagine
having
two fantasy teams. Oh, God. Two fantasy teams, and I watch him every night, glaring at the TV.
And they're winning games too. It's not like they've been bad.
I know.
It does make it a little scary. Padres, start to get going.
Padres are good, man.
Yeah.
The NL is
that's the most annoying. We haven't really talked about the pod. It's like of all years, like the NL is with like two teams over 500. That's
terrible.
Like, what are we doing here? And the freaking NL, it's like everyone's over 500.
Yeah. Now the good part is
a lot of these teams, like the Cardinals, are not good. Like I don't care. The Pirates, these teams are not going to stay.
So the thing is, it's gonna go Dodgers, Padres, Cubs, Braves, Brewers, and then it's that spot.
Yep.
That sixth spot.
Yep.
Now I am worried about the Cardinals and the tarps off movement. Have you seen this?
No. What is it?
The tarps off, where everyone is in the crowd taking their shirts off. And
I didn't know
it's like
that.
A bunch of college kids,
like the Phillies the other night.
Yeah, but that was stolen from St. Louis.
I didn't know that.
Who started it? And it's like they take up two sections,
and it's like a fun thing.
Yeah. They're adding some electricity back to Busch Stadium.
Ultimately, you have to have players though. At the end of the day.
Yeah. The Cardinals are, and their shortstop is such a old, like a Cardinals player, 25. Like, I gotta sneeze, but I know, like, that was bad. That was a bad moment.
He's not like Elliot, who will like hiccup or burp on the pod like all the time. Like, excuse me,
would never burp on the pod.
Is it a burp? What is it? Like a,
he yawns.
It's a yawn. On
he
that.
Yawns. Every
Elliot has to
pod.
Apologize during a pod at least once a pod, where he's like, excuse me or sorry for something.
He says a naturally yawn.
Yes.
So
the yawning in the daily pod when you're talking to yourself, that's a tough scene.
That is a tough scene.
Especially because he records it in the middle of the afternoon. Doing it at 4 a.m.
I think it's Pavlovian at this point, probably.
Yeah. Well, he's so funny on the daily pod, too. Like, it's just like, what's going on, guy? I don't know. He just Elliots it up.
It's
an unbelievable commitment to doing it.
He's the best.
Yeah. He's one of one.
Yeah. When he's not talking Phillies, he's the best.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I want to stuff him in a locker.
Yes, when he talks really. It's like, no, but otherwise my favorite.
The Cardinals are fake. Like it's but that's a pretty loaded NL.
It's wild, NL man. Field. Yeah, they're all and again, like I think the ones you mentioned, like they're all good teams. Like the Brewers, the Dodgers, the Padres, like, these are teams that make the playoffs most years. Like they're competitive every year and they got a head start, you know, which is the problem.
Yeah. So, the Phillies obviously have some work to do. I still would be surprised if they you know, are not in the dance.
I think they'll be in the dance too.
Yeah. Although I am disappointed in myself. I have been way more in get me to October mindset this year than in years past. You're usually
the anti that. You're usually, I know. Don't do this. It's baseball season.
I know. But it's just like, I've seen this. I've seen this before. I know what they are.
It feels very familiar.
Like, there's going to be ups and downs. They're a good baseball team. I'm proud of them for getting back to where they should have been.
Digging out of the hole.
Where they should have been. By the way, I think it's the quickest turnaround from 10 games under 500 since like the A's.
It wouldn't shock me. I mean, they turned it super quick. I mean, 16-4, and now it's 16-5, whatever. But they were moving.
Yeah. So I'm enjoying the ride. But it's like, I need to see if it's going to be different.
It's one of those things where it's like, they're back. We're in it. All that, but it's like, we just have this hanging over us where it's like, no matter, and I'm enjoying it and stuff and they're fun to watch, but it's like that like playoff thing is just there where it's like, I don't know that what I'm watching is what I'll watch then. And that like,
I know,
being unsure of it, it's impossible to like fully grab onto what you're seeing. Cause it's hard to predict that it's going to happen in the future.
Now, here's one thing that I think is interesting about evaluating this team and if it's going to be different in October, and we'll see if they can continue to do it. But I think the one criticism you've heard about the Phillies in October is they're just playing for the home run, you know? And like sometimes you push back against it because like, you know, I just don't know if they're hitting. Yeah. I don't know if they're playing for the home run.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're just missing the ball with their bat.
But the one thing that I think is something that people should monitor is if they're continuing to be able to do the little things like steal bases, and they're starting to emphasize that part of their game that they haven't really done in October. Like, are
hitting
they able
runs? I actually saw a couple of those.
I think there's been like four hitting runs.
Whenever I see one, like it's like my eyes are deceiving me as it's happening. I'm like, is this, wow? We don't do this. It feels like I'm 15 years old again watching baseball.
I know. The Donnie Baseball Bunting Station has slowed down, but you know, like, did they work that back into the mix?
They had been playing good defense until this series. I don't know what happened. Weird.
Yeah, I mean, the first Bryce play on Tuesday was his fault. He went to cut off Stott early in the game.
Yeah, the Banks one was definitely on Banks, and I thought it was on Bryce, but I also thought like the pitcher should still get over there. I don't care. What else are you doing? Like, cover the base.
Well, and that was the second time it happened. Painter was late covering
the base. That's my point. So, like, I agree. Like, that was probably Stott's ball. Pitcher should still have gotten there.
Well, no. Well, the one in the seventh, I actually liked he went and cut it off because he thought Blade was going to go to third.
Banks was completely wrong. Like, the Banks one, there's no other side to. Yeah, I agree.
So, the defense on that night wasn't great. And then yesterday, it was Tuesday too.
Crawford, yeah.
Crawford didn't get to the Ellie triple.
That. Yeah, he's gonna get it. It wasn't an easy play, but the ball is glove. I mean, the ball in the glove.
He's
not a center fielder. I mean, he's done a nice job. He's not a center fielder, naturally. It feels like a lot of times you're watching, like, it feels like his first step is usually wrong. Not always, but it feels like he steps in, then he can recover. He's fast. He's got speed. But it doesn't feel like it's natural. It doesn't feel like the ball's hitting the bat and he's already gliding in the right direction. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, by the numbers, he gets the worst jumps in baseball.
There you go. So that was pure anecdotal, pure eye test, but that makes total sense.
I mean, yeah, he's done an okay job in center field.
Yeah, he's okay.
I don't know, man. Because I can't tell with center field defense and like outfield defense. I kind of believe that it's something that you're born with, like the ability to track a baseball. And it's not like, again, there's this, I think, a misconception that this is his first time playing center field.
Yeah.
It's not. He played center field all throughout the minor leagues, but they kind of moved him to left field in the upper levels. Because Rojas was there. So Rojas is a center fielder. Mm-hmm. And it just might be who he is. Like, he might just not be able to read the ball off the bat well. You know, it seems like every line drive at him, he doesn't know if it's over his head or he's got to come in, and he's always caught in between. He gets bad jumps on stuff. Like, he might be a corner outfielder with a center field bat profile.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, like,
is an idea.
How valuable is that? So, yeah, I mean, we'll give him time. He's allowed to grow. I wouldn't move him off center field this year.
I wouldn't either.
Because there's a thought of, would you put Marsh in center and him in left, like, towards the end of the year? And I just wouldn't do it. Like, I want to see if he can be the center.
And Marsh isn't any better in center. Like, maybe, yeah, he's better. Maybe he's a little better, but I think Crawford has a higher ceiling in center than Marsh.
Oh, yeah, if you can figure it out.
That's my point.
So, Yeah, no. So that was annoying. And then, you know, Boehm just having the ball go off his palm yesterday was certainly not great. And the Dolis is still great in right field.
Dude, that one, yeah, the one by that. And it's one of those where you're like, the run's going to score. It's like, do I even want him to catch it? But it's like, you're not going to not catch in that spot. But that one running out of, like, that was, I mean, like, Nick Castellanos doesn't get 20 feet from that ball. You know? Yeah.
Wish he could hit. It's really such a wish shame. He could hit.
Well, at least he was batting two, so that was good.
Yeah, yeah, had
what was that? Can we talk about that real quick? And then we'll get to the take bag. But because there's not too much that you probably won't cover. But I do want to talk about Mattingly's comments. I do think we talked about this morning, Joe, and I do think it was interesting. Talking about Harper and talking about why was Adolis in the two hole yesterday. And, you know, just talking about it. And then he kind of does, he says, just kind of offhandedly.
He did.
You know, yeah. He was like, well, you know, Bryce essentially like doesn't want to be in the two hole. He's like, you know, you do it for a day or two, but we basically want to get Bryce out of there. Like, don't love it. You know, so two questions. What did you make of that? What he said? And also, do you think there's a chance? Cause I think it sounded to me, I don't think it was a mistake by Mattingly. Is Mattingly potentially trying to shame Bryce into play? Because I do think that it's like, I think it's ridiculous that Bryce won't bat in the two hole. If it is what we think it is, which it seems like Bryce says, I don't want to bat two, like that's a problem, man. Like, I have no problem with him staying at first base. None. I actually hate it when people are like, you won't go to the outfield. Like, I don't care. Like, he's a first baseman. He should play first base. It's the best thing for his career. It's the best thing for the Phillies. He's a good first baseman. Leave him there. The not batting two thing is nonsense.
Yeah. So I think Mattingly kind of
just slipped. Do you think it was
I think he just assumed people knew it. Really? Oh, I think
he didn't realize he was airing a little dirty laundry out.
No,
there.
I don't. No, okay. I don't.
All like, right. That's possible for sure. Yeah.
And I think he talked about when he was on with the midday show, he was like, listen, Vladdy wanted to bat three, you know, like, so you want to bat people where they feel comfortable and stuff like that. I just think it's nonsense. Like you can't hit
so nonsense.
You can't for three games hit second. And I was so glad he went 0 for yesterday.
I know,
because he didn't like to validate this idea that you can't hit in a two hole is ridiculous. And having to put Adolis Garcia,
especially when their best hitter is hitting the two hole for a while now. Like Kyle Schwarber has done just fine in the two hole.
Well, but they having to put Adolis there yesterday
was ridiculous, man.
Because he won't bat two. So yeah, I think this is. I mean, I hate it.
I hate it. Bryce deserves a ton of credit for this year. He's been awesome, and he is the whole not elite, elite thing, whatever you want to make of it. Like, he has come in with a chip on his shoulder, and he has played awesome. This is a bad look for Bryce.
Well, yeah, and it's one of those,
especially because he always says, "I'll do anything. I'll hit anywhere. I'll whatever." Like, it's like, don't shine us on, and then. Turns out you were lying, you know?
Well, yeah. And, you know, Thompson always would cover for him and say, Bryce will bat whatever we want him to bat. No, he won't. And I just, like, he's too smart of a baseball guy to pretend as if the first inning matters all that much. Like, you're not seeing, all of a sudden, you're not seeing a bunch of different pitches. And pitchers these days are going, like, five innings.
You're going to see a new pitcher for most of your bats anyway.
I think he's hitting like over 300 in seventh inning on. Well, most of that is against relievers that you don't see. So,
and you don't control when you're up. You could be the first batter of an inning. You don't control when you come up then.
Bat, if you just hit second, first off, there was a spot yesterday. What was the fifth where it's runner on first and two outs? And it's Adolis up there striking out where that could have been Bryce. And hey, maybe the inning turns. Like, I understand you want to hit people where they're comfortable, but like, how about you adjust the hitting to? How about you're hitting to and figure it out?
Yeah. You're Bryce Harper. Figure it out.
And it's robbing them of what their best lineup is.
Well, that's the problem, is it does hurt the team.
It should be Schwarber one and it should be Harper two, especially with the way that Turner's going. And then Turner three, if you want, you know, but like this whole, I want to bat three because I'm comfortable there. And I'm like a two hole hitter that sees a lot of pitches so that I'm more comfortable up there. Like it's
weak.
It's cope. And this is some me guy nonsense that I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure that given that I think the reaction today, I'm sure he's not going to be thrilled that Mattingly said that.
I agree. Especially after they say things in public. Oh, I mean, it's, you know,
Yeah. So it might have been a little slip up from Donnie Baseball.
And look, if it wasn't, I respect Donnie like kind of being like potentially shaming anew to try something else. Like I do think that Mattingly again has been Bryce Harper level fame, maybe not quite that, you know, but pretty damn big. Like, who knows? Maybe he has little ways to kind of motivate these guys without coming right out and like saying it to his face. Like, I don't know.
I mean, listen, if he's playing chess, great. Like,
respect.
The, you know, Dabrowski saying he's not elite and all of a sudden you're getting this year and then this, man, like just the little shaming of Bryce to get what you want.
Maybe. I mean, it's possible.
Yeah. And Mattingly, I think, certainly would have the cachet if Bryce was like, whatever, or if got mad about it.
Yeah.
To say, what are you mad about?
Yeah. Like, are you kidding me, dude?
You should be batting too. You should, yeah. You should 100% be batting too. Yeah. So, no. Did they move Vladdy up last year? Did he stick?
He definitely batted two at times for sure. Because I had him on my fantasy team and I would notice that he was in the two. He's been in the three all year this year. But all right, let's get a take back.
Now, but they also probably have better hitters around them.
Well, yeah, way better. That line was awesome.
All right. The Reading Night, June 20th. Just save the date. We'll get the
buddy.
We'll get the landing page out for you where you can get tickets. But save the date, Reading, June 20th. Brad Keller did change his walk-up song.
Well, thank God.
Yeah. He went to War Pigs by Black Sabbath yesterday.
Much better.
Much better. No, it's 10 times better.
Not even comparable, honestly.
No. So bullying works. We got him out of Imagine Dragons. And all of a sudden, a perfect inning.
Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah. So that was big. That was important. Painter. So, another step forward.
I thought it was a good start, yeah.
But still question marks. He generated 3 whiffs in that start. Three whiffs.
Not great.
On 66 pitches. Yeah. So the good, he retired his last 10 in a row. And I think that as starts go on, he has more conviction with his pitches, you know, and I think he feels more comfortable. Because like the one thing he's going to have to start doing, like he's going to have to start throwing his sweeper and slider harder, I think. And it'll like, you know, the spin will be a little bit tighter because sometimes they flatten out a little bit and that's when they get hit. So I think he develops a feel for it as the start goes on. You kind of just have to hope that the first 2 innings don't go so bad that you have to like yank him out of there, because I think when he finds his footing, he's fine. He starts developing some confidence and getting some confidence. So overall, like a positive start. You know, there's still some questions, like obviously with
the 5 innings and the whole thing. Yeah.
And, you know, it was only 66 pitches and it got him out of there.
62 the time before.
So they still have the training wheels on him, which is fine.
Fine. Know? I honestly, again, we said this last pod. I'll say it again. I would rather he have the training wheels on him and get 5 good innings than go a 6th and it ruin the whole start.
Yes. So he, the training wheels are on, which is, again, it's fine. It's just the shame for Painter is that you look at all these young arms in baseball and they're just sick.
Yeah, like Burns. I mean, he has to watch Burns. Like, I know. It's a perfect, like, right-in-your-face example.
Burns, Ysevich, Schlitler, Mizorowski, like, but again, I don't know why it is. I don't know why it is. Because it doesn't really compute in my brain, but it just, I mean, the evidence is the evidence. I mean, the best young pitchers in baseball right now are college kids. They go to college for, you know, 3 years and
Skeens, obviously.
Skeens, yeah. And, you know, Painter's the same age as these guys, but he looks like he's behind development wise. So I do think that some of these college programs have like minor league level pitching development.
Clearly, yeah.
But it's just crazy because you wouldn't think it. You would think, okay, well, Andrew Painter's also.
He's been in the system for years. He should be further along. Yeah. He's
working on stuff and strong. And I know he had TJ, but.
Which hurt him.
Yeah, it's fascinating looking at all the young pitchers in baseball, how they're all college kids.
Yeah, and it actually is really fascinating. It's a really good point.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head, like the best high school, like top 25, like top 20 starter, like that's like 25
young,
and under.
That's young. Yeah,
like obviously guys get there, like Lizardo and Wheeler,
right, of course, yeah,
and they figure it out. But I'm like of the young starters, I feel like they're just all college kids.
It's wild.
So like Gavin Williams, college kid, yeah. ECU. Ysevich, college kid, ECU. Schlitler, 7th rounder. Like,
was he really?
Out of North, well, hopefully Northeastern.
He's Matthew Fisher.
Scooble, 9th rounder out of Seattle College.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Both him and Skeens had a combined 3 offers.
It's so crazy, man.
In high school.
Baseball is the hardest sport to like, for again, every time we have Barbara on, I'm always like, hey, man, the fact that you look at these kids like 17, 18, project what they're being is like the craziest thing. It's the craziest thing. Like, especially because, like, at least in college football, you're watching like SEC kids play SEC kids. You know, you're watching whatever, like college basketball, like these big programs. Like, these high school kids could be going up against me in high school, for Christ's sake. Mm-hmm. If they're, you know, I mean, some like, and you're trying to evaluate what this guy's going to be in the major leagues in 7 years. Or it's such a hard job. Mm-hmm. I'm blown away by it.
Yeah. McLean. Oklahoma State.
Noah McLean. Yep. Sure.
Yeah. The guy is just,
it's an interesting point.
Well, it's one to think about with the draft.
That's what I was about to say. Is that going to influence? And look, it did last draft that they were higher. I mean, they moved away from that with mm-hmm. the Gage draft. So that maybe that is something the Phillies kind of saw coming a little bit.
Yeah. So, but at the same time, I would draft every high school bat.
I know you would.
Like, but high school bats are different. Like all the best.
Oh,
young
bats.
Players.
I thought you said every high school player.
No. I would draft high school bats.
Like, you can't help yourself, can you?
Well, if you want to go away from high school arms, I get it.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with the high school bat.
I mean, although there's like this Borthwick kid.
See, I know you don't love it.
I don't love it.
You'll accept it.
Well, because Ryan Sloan also exists, and he's disgusting for the Mariners. Now they also have Cade Anderson, who's a LSU kid. But anyway, I would draft every high school bat. High school bats is a totally different story. Like the best players right now, best prospects
McGonagall,
right now.
McGonagall, those guys.
McGonagall high school bat. Connor Griffin high school bat.
A lot of those
Gunner
guys.
High school bat. Like there's enough.
Yeah.
Okay. High school pitching is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Just good.
Aiden high school bat. Get him going.
Light baseball activities.
Yeah, so great.
We're back.
Good.
We're back.
Beautiful.
We're back. I can't wait.
I hate seeing all these guys come up and he's down. Like Cole Emerson just got called. I was like, all right.
You know, I'm not a Cole Emerson.
I'm just saying, like, I'm tired of seeing all these guys coming up and freaking being a part of the major leagues. Our guy's not. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
He'll get there. He'll get there. I'm confident in the kid. I'm confident in the kid.
Love him.
So Painter. Good. Still uses off speed more. They're trying to hide the fastball. We know that. And it was interesting. Like the Reds like tried to jump him, and he did a good job of staying off the barrel. So I still like the plan of sinkers in to righties and sweepers and sliders, spamming them with that, and then lefties fastball in and splits away. It can kind of work. Lizardo was good. Like Lizardo was fine.
Yeah, I thought he was really good.
Yeah, he's. He had the one stinker against Colorado, but four out of his last five starts have been Lizardo. So that's obviously super important. How was Bohm run?
Dude, Bohm's been 1,200. And how about that homer? Was it yesterday? Was the one down right down the left field line, like a rope down the line? I was like, look at this.
He's actually starting to look like he's launching the baseball.
Yeah, he does. He looks better.
Yeah. 1,200 OPS since the 2-day reset. 1,200. You like that? He's going to get extended. You know, just accept it now.
Don't joke.
Accept it now.
Stop joking.
Alec Bohm was inevitable. And then Stott had a good run. Not as high average, but he's the second most RBI.
Pulling over me again the other night. You know?
I think he's the second most RBIs in baseball in May.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's always been the power hitter. Everyone knows that. I know we've been doing a lot of like general baseball stuff in this podcast, which I'm a big fan of.
Me too.
The NL Cy Young race is crazy. Have you seen it? So like
no, I mean I would guess Sanchez up there 182. You know?
Well, but so Sanchez 1.82, Chase Burns 1.83, Mizorowski 1.89, Paul Skenes 2.62, Chris Sale 1.89, Otani 0.73.
Oh yeah, Otani, forgot about Otani. Otani's probably the front runner.
Yeah,
what
is going on? Only 49 innings.
Yeah, not enough innings. What is going on?
Awesome, that is awesome. It's good stuff. And then last thing, there's nothing that brings me more that makes me laugh or chuckle. Quite like the Don Mattingly no teeth smile. Like he just does the.
Oh, thing. I know. He'd say it's very
funny.
Yeah, like it's weird.
It's a goofy little look.
Yeah, you're right.
And it looks like he's kind of talking crap, you know, when he does it. Cause
yeah,
usually like
he's got something in the back of his mind.
Yeah, like it's kind of like when I have something going.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you get that look. That's actually a very Fritzian look. You're right.
It is. It is. Like, what is Donnie Baseball up
it's
to?
It's still weird for me that he doesn't have the mustache. And I know bring it back. It's what I'm saying. Like, the Donnie I knew, the stash was such a big part of the look. You
maybe
know?
He can't grow it anymore.
Maybe. Maybe he's like splotchy and whatever. Yeah.
Can people bald on their face?
Sure. It's a great question, actually. I assume so. I don't know. I mean, obviously,
I don't think you can bald.
I mean, they don't, like, we've seen many bald people with beards.
I don't think you bald on
Do
your
you
face.
Never
I don't think
bald?
You lose facial hair.
This is a great question. What a fascinating point. If Tucker were on his game, he would have looked it up by now, but he wasn't.
I'm thinking about his sideburns.
Oh, okay.
Also a sideburns.
Yeah,
man.
A sideburns.
Which I don't know if they bald either.
No, well, that's that way.
That was a Simpsons reference.
Yeah.
I don't watch Simpsons.
Well, you should.
Matt, I never shave those sideburns.
Yeah. Would never.
That's your loss.
Never.
Okay.
0% chance. And I'm still trying to figure out what happened on Survivor last night.
Don't say anything. I don't know. I haven't watched. Don't say anything. Don't even talk about it.
I sent it to both you and BLG.
I didn't even open the text. I didn't even open the text because Elliot sent it to me and Tucker. And
that was a very aggressive text to wake up to, by the way.
I wrote back. I'm like, what the F is wrong with you? Like, I haven't watched it. Don't talk to me. Talk about this.
What is this, 2004?
I know. Why? Like, kids, I go to bed early. What do you mean? Ellie and I are watching as soon as I get home today. All right? Relax.
So here's what happened.
Very funny. I will kill you.
Oh, you want to know why you don't go bald in the face?
I actually don't. Yes, I do want to know.
The hormone that stimulates facial hair growth. It's the same hormone that promotes baldness in your scalp.
No way.
Yeah. Interesting. So
that's actually very weird.
You can't bald in your face. And here's the other thing I've been thinking about with facial hair. And when you take out one of the hairs, like, how does it grow back if you just ripped it out? And is there a root system deep inside your face that, like, it's just producing hair in the
probably.
Same spot?
I guess so.
It's an interesting
pores.
Question.
That's a thing,
they just,
right?
But there's like, you rip out the one hair and then bang, here's
this is great
one.
Stuff for me. This is why you're the best.
Thank you.
I really
this
appreciate
is very
it.
Deep. So here's what happened on Survivor.
No, shut it. All right. We're out of here. We'll talk to you guys after. Everyone enjoy their Memorial Day weekend. I know we will.
It's going to be raining. I got tickets to the game on Saturday. I want to take the whole family down.
Oh, no.
And it looks like it's going to be a washout. Oh. So, yeah. That's a bummer.
That is
Walker's
a bummer.
Looking forward to going.
Yeah, that is a shame.
So I don't know if it might be a doubleheader on Sunday, but then I don't know.
That's a whole thing.
I had timed out perfectly. 4 o'clock. So like they could fall asleep on the drive home. 1 o'clock, they might fall asleep at like 4 o'clock. You'll realize this one day, Tucker.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
They fall asleep in the cars. It's sometimes a great thing, sometimes a disaster. Because if you're 3 minutes away from home and they fall asleep, it's like, here we go. He's going to be up for 2 hours.
See, this is you really have trouble getting these kids to sleep. Like I had,
their brains don't turn on.
Yeah. So Zoe will push it to stay up every second that she like, but once she is forced to go to bed, like she is asleep like that. Like you're like literally like she can be mid sentence and just gone.
Zero. No.
That's so wild. I'm so sorry.
Well, and this week, you know, talk about lack of clutch gene from those two.
Yeah.
Wouldn't sleep. All of a sudden, like it's a seventh inning. I gotta do post game. And I'm like, I'm out there I'm driving around listening to
boys, pull it together.
We gotta lock in. Daddy's got a post game show.
Pull it together, all right?
So I'm on
there. He's doing this for you so you can pay for your life in the future,
right?
Right. A house to live under, a roof and all that.
People helping people.
That's right. All right. We'll be back after the weekend. Have a wonderful Memorial Day. Until then, go Phils. He's Fritz himself.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.